sir. My name is Lee Quinones. I'm the acting board chair for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. The next voice you will hear is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, and he will be serving as the panel lead for your hearing. Thank you, sir.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. Can you hear me?
Good morning.
Good.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. So you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Could you please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
My name is Jonathan Gordon Stewart II. My DOC number is 113996.
All right, thank you, sir. I'm going to introduce you to the board members conducting your hearing this morning. To my far left is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, we have the Honorable Louis Quinones. And my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gail Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as a hearing lead this morning, sir. You are actually currently incarcerated for a life sentence. You are before this board for a home arrest or regular parole. Is that your understanding, sir, or absolute discharge?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you, your sentence began back in February of 94.
Yes, sir.
And it was for a murder in the first degree sentence that you actually received. According to your institutional progress report, sir, you have taken some programming, but it doesn't look like you've had that much programming. Is there a reason why, sir?
Sir, the problem is that I did try to program a lot.
Uh-huh.
But they will take up people that have less time than I do, and it's a priority list.
Okay.
So I do try to program when I can.
Okay, well.
So whenever I don't.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
So whenever I don't have programming or things like that, I try to work and everything else. And I try to, like, things that improve my mind and try to improve myself.
Okay. Okay, did you, it looks like, did you get your GED while you've been, since you've been incarcerated, sir?
Yes, sir, I did. I'm very proud of that, too.
Okay, well, that is an accomplishment to be proud of, sir. According to your release plan, it says, if given a chance to go back to the community, that you would stay with your sister, Ms. Gritton, who resides at 144 Post Oak Drive in, is this Michigan, Montana?
No, sir, that is Denver, Missouri.
Missouri, okay. Says that your sister and your uncle will provide help until you're able to get your trust fund. So do you have a trust fund, sir?
Yes, sir, I do. When my grandparents passed away, they left me a trust fund.
Okay. Says that you... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Also, I have a lot of job skills, but prior to my coming into prison, I was on SSI, which I'd really rather not take up. I'd rather go out and work, so I want to be a leech.
Okay. Well, it does say that you have some job skills in welding, carpentry, and building maintenance. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
It says your uncle's a contractor doing building maintenance contractor who may help you find a job.
Yes, sir.
And I do see that we do have a letter here from your uncle that's also attached that we got today that states that he's been helping you, he's been sending you some money to help you with your books since you've been incarcerated, and that he would be able to help you with housing and apartment, but he wouldn't be able to provide any counseling or network services that you may need.
Yes, sir, that would be what we have to do.
Okay.
Because I look at it this way, sir, no disrespect, but I think of it this way, that I'm the one that should be accountable for myself to do that stuff.
Okay. Well, sir, you are approximately 45 years old now?
Yes, sir, I am.
How old were you when this crime was committed, sir?
I was 20 years old, sir.
20 years old?
Yes, sir, I was a very young child back then, sir.
Okay. So you have some discipline that you have. Looks like the last discipline you received was back in 07. But back then, when you first went in, you were doing a lot of, looks like you were fighting and obstructing But you haven't had any citations since 07?
No, sir, and I'm very grateful for that because I went through a class called Smart Group. And when I went through that, there was a CO3 named Mr. Billiard. And Mr. Billiard actually opened my eyes to a lot of things when he was giving me that class, and I was very grateful for that.
Okay, and if this is your first time appearing before the board, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. So according to the sentence document, court sentence document information that we have, is that you were actually sentenced to a life imprisonment without the possibility of parole for 25 years. And that you to do community supervision after that. Is that your understanding of it all, sir?
That was my understanding, sir. I'm not sure exactly how it works. And I think it is the 3.8 years if I do the math correctly. But I do plan on trying to improve myself even more out there if given a chance to get the parole.
Okay.
Because I feel that maybe I can do something better with my life instead of being just a little jerk kid.
Okay, you got a plea agreement instead of going to trial, is that right?
Yes, sir.
As a result of the court plea agreement, you did do an appeal to the, in the Superior Court for a special verdict, and the verdict that the sentence was upheld.
What do you mean, sir? I don't understand that.
But
I don't mean no disrespect.
Okay, once the judge sentenced you to the life imprisonment, there was a special verdict that was asked for and the circumstances of your sentence, and it was upheld in the Supreme Court, in the Superior Court of Arizona back in June of 1995.
Yes, I'm not really familiar with the law, sir, very much, not to be disrespectful.
Oh, no, it's not. We take it as no disrespect. I'm just going through the paperwork that we have here for you.
I was really not too well informed of very much of anything when it came to the court, sir. So my ignorance is unfortunate. And I wish I had better answers for you on that.
Okay. Well, going over the pre-sentence report, sir, I'm going to go over some information. When you were originally arrested, you were charged with first-degree murder and attempted armed robbery, which is an incident that occurred back in February of 1994 in Casa Grande, where the police officer were responding to a parking lot in the rear of the Lucky Chinese restaurant, which is a known area where homeless people were actually staying. The victim was found in the back, his eyes were open, but he had been shot in the chest. The scene was secured, they investigated. Subsequently, after doing the investigation to the police department, the officers had received some information from a Circle K clerk that a gentleman had been inside there, stating Mr. Morris. Sorrells had stated inside the store that he told the clerk that he was with some other guys and a bum was shot by one of his white guy who was a friend, that they were all together. And then after the shooting and the on Rob, they dropped him off at the Circle K store. A subsequent investigation led to several people being arrested and admitting to shooting the victim, that they had came up with a decision that they wanted to go out and just rob a homeless person and shoot him. And this is exactly what happened. So how did you get involved in that, and what was your involvement, sir?
Well, sir, my involvement was this. When I came to Casa Grande, I was a gang member, and I'm not very proud of that. I'm actually very ashamed of myself for that. And I was talking to a bunch of friends, and they all wanted to be part of the game. And the whole thing was that we were supposed to just, you know, go out and go rob somebody. And that was their idea. person that did the shooting, I don't even know why he did the shooting. It made no sense to me. And when that happened, it kind of freaked me out, and we all ran away like scared rabbits, so to speak. And to be 100% honest, we should have never done that in the first place. It's a very shameful act on my part, as well as the others. I wish that we never did. If I could go back in time and slap myself silly, sir, and I mean no disrespect by saying that, I would. I'd say, what the hell are you thinking? You know, it was a very shameful act that that man ended up dying because it was useless. It should have never happened.
So, you guys just, was this a gang initiation, or what was it? What was the result? Why did you guys decide to go out and just roll a bone?
The whole idea was that we were supposed to do something to go to gang initiation. And one of the persons that was involved had said, well, let's go out and go roll bones. And me being stupid at the time, I said, okay, that sounds like a plan. Why not? And so that's what we did, and one person had a gun, and, well, he walked behind a person. I never even saw him. This was late at night. And when he walked up behind a person, when we all were talking to him, I started to walk away. And I let it. And please excuse my language on this. I was a dumbass, and I said, Jamie, now, maybe let's go, because we thought that this was stupid anyway. I just don't walk away. And I heard the two gunshots, and I started running because I didn't know who was shooting. The homeless man had claimed he had a gun, so that's why we started to walk away after Morris had said something to the effect of, we just want your stuff. And like I said, we were very, very stupid. There is no excuse that I can give anywhere on that. We were just stupid.
So, did you guys know the guy who was shot, the victim?
No, I did not know this guy.
Okay, and Marcelo Suarez, did you know him?
Yes.
Well, how did you know
him? I met him earlier that night, sir.
And how did you know him?
Yes, Grandma.
How did you know him, sir?
I was introduced to him by Jamie Young, one of the gentlemen that was involved with us. Apparently he knew
and he was the one who went into the store and was bragging to the store clerk about, you know, what a wild night they had and that they just shot a homeless person.
Yes, he was.
So is that all of
you? Sir.
Was that all of you guys' attitude at that time, sir?
No, sir.
So the other four guys that were also arrested, did you know those guys too?
I knew Jason and I knew Jamie, sir.
Uh-huh.
I had met the others that night.
Okay, so I do see that we do have a letter here from you of your parole plan and talks about your past history that you actually had, and that as a childhood you were mentally and physically abused as a child. Since your mother left you when you were 18 months old and you met her for the first time when you was 10 years of age. Says as a result of all of that, you developed a violent streak by the age of 14. So, sir, and then by the time that you were 17, you was liberated from, and you had to live out on the streets. So when you say that you, at 14, you had a violent streak, what do you mean?
Well, sir, when I was a child, I was abused a lot. My dad used to, he was a very nasty man. And when I was like, right before I was kicked out of his house and put into a mental institution, I was beaten with a rubber hose, so I just had aggressive problems towards everybody. I figured everybody hated me, so why not just act a jerk?
So what's your feeling now? How do you think people feel about you now, sir?
Well, sir, the way I look at it is this, is that everybody's going to have somebody that doesn't like them. I try to do what I can and to have people might be there, they don't, they just stay away from them. And I try to surround myself with people that are actually fairly good people here. I know, which is hard to do, especially in here. And for me, I don't like the idea, I don't like bullies, I don't like people that are thugs, I don't like liars, I don't like to lie myself. I don't like to steal, I don't like to do any of that, because it just reminds me of when I was a kid and I had to do that so I could eat or whatever, and I just don't like that idea.
Okay. So I see in the package, you know, we did receive a letter from your cousin, I believe it was, who's going, your uncle, that was going to give you some assistance. But also in your letter, you mentioned your sister and some other family members that were willing to help you.
Yes, my sister should have sent an email or something to you.
Okay.
I talked to her about a week and a half ago when I sent my paper. She said she was going to do it. I don't know what happened. And this lady had given her a call, but apparently my sister was at work, so she never either received it or never got to it.
Okay. Because we were not in city, I mean, I saw the letter from your uncle, but I didn't see a letter or any information in here from your sister or any other family members, and I was wondering why. You mentioned them in your release plan, but there's no documentation from any other family members in here.
Yeah, my foster sister was supposed to have done that. I thought she did, to be honest with you. Like I said, I talked to her about a week and a half ago when I first signed the paperwork, and she said, okay, I'll make sure they'll do that. But she also lives in Missouri, which is very cold. She might have had a power outage or something. I don't know, to be honest with you, sir.
So do you still have family here in Arizona, sir?
My father and my stepmother live here in Arizona, and neither of them have any real anything to do with me. Ever since my grandparents passed away, I was just considered trash to throw away. Just like with my mother, I was considered trash because my mother knew I had a trust fund after my grandparents passed away. And when I tried to speak with her, things were going well for about 5 years, and all of a sudden she turned around, she says, well, can you loan me some money? I said, I can't do anything till I get out. And then she turned around and I wrote her a letter. I said, I really appreciate to be a part of your family. And she says, well, nobody wants to know you. And I was like, okay, that's all right, no problem.
So, sir, you were in a gang when you were young. How did you wind up in the gang, sir? And what happened? Do you know what happened to the other guys that were involved in the homicide?
I do not, sir. All I know is that Jamie is still in prison. As far as I know, the rest of them, I have no idea what happened to them.
And was there one juvenile involved in it that was under 18?
Yes. That was Chris, as far as I know.
So I'm
and see, Chris was Jason's cousin.
Okay. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions for you, sir. Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'll keep it short. Mr. Spielberg, of course, we're here to talk about a very serious crime, but Department of Corrections is about rehabilitation, and certainly
we
like to see people actually rehabilitate and make successful transitions back to the community. You've been very respectful, a bit emotionless. It's not a criticism. I'm just saying you've been very even keel. I detected that along the way there was some self-image or self-worth issues. So where have you arrived now in terms of how you feel about yourself, independent of this act?
Well, sir, I wish I could say that I was a better person back then. I'm trying to make myself a better person now. If I can, I will help somebody out to the end of the earth. I don't want to see people become garbage, so to speak. I would much rather be the person that stands up and sits there and says, hey, why don't we do the right thing this time? Why don't we help this guy out? Or why don't we help that guy out? Or why don't we help this person? Why don't we help that person? I don't want to see people fail anymore. It's just not the right thing anymore. I see too much of it out in the world, and it just breaks me to see that. And to me, I see myself as one person that made a very large, how do I put this, just whenever you know that there's a bad outcome, and that you decided to go do that. There is nothing you can do to change that. You decided to do that. A mistake you can go back and fix. A bad choice you cannot. You have to work on it and improve yourself on it.
I appreciate your answer, sir, and I will return to Mr. Johnson.
Did you have something, Ms. Rittenhouse?
Just, Mr. Spielberg, what are some of the skills that you've learned while you've been in prison? You said you have some skills.
Ma'am, I should become a certified welder. I went through carpentry school. I learned how to do a lot of carpentry and woodworking. I also went through building maintenance, which I applied myself to. I've learned a lot of electrical. I learned a lot of plumbing. I learned a lot of things, actually. I don't know how well that camera can see, but I did bring some paperwork with me. I think you all have it, of my CSC certificates.
Okay. Yes, we have that, sir.
Yes. Okay, so you feel that you would be able to find work if you were out? You'd have no trouble finding work?
Oh, easily, because of the fact that I have just nothing but work ethic. I look at the world this way whenever it comes to work. Why put off tomorrow what you should have done yesterday?
Okay, sir, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Sir, it's just a couple, because do you know why the victim was shot in the back?
Yeah, I still don't know. I have asked myself that every single day for 25 years, why did James shoot him? I still can't figure that one out. There was no reason for it. When we started to walk away is when I heard the gunshots, and when I tried to go to sleep that night, I couldn't because I kept hearing them over and over and over again. Uh-huh. I've asked myself that every single day. Why did he shoot him? It made no sense to me.
And I know it was a gang initiation. Why was the choice, the decision to go rob a homeless person?
Like I said, when I had come up with the idea of the gang because the fact that I was having a gang, and I had been in gangs for quite some time because the fact that I lived on the streets. Uh-huh. And I was involved with some people that were doing illegal activities, I'm not going to lie. And these guys all wanted to get in done, make money. And so one of the ideas was to go get into a fight or go do something stupid, you know. And the thing was is that when one of the persons said to me, hey, let's go roll bombs. And excuse my language, but that was the way it was spoken. And I said to her, I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds like a plan. And we all been drinking, doing some narcotics at night. I'm not going to lie again, because that would be false to do so. And my judgment was, okay, I'll go do that. Why not? It sounds like fun. Nobody can get hurt. And when that happened, it happened so fast that I didn't even realize what the hell happened. Excuse my language. And when that gunshots went off, it was like, wow, where'd this come from?
Okay. All right, sir, I think the world has no... Mr.
Just to follow up, Mr. Spielberg, it's more of a curiosity, but was the gun recovered in this case?
No, sir, something happened to it. I actually took it back to my apartment, or to the trailer I was living in, and the person I was living with apparently got rid of it the very next year. I didn't even know it. We got arrested, and it was gone. I even told the police where it was at. I don't know what happened to it.
Was it a short-barreled shotgun or a short-barreled rifle?
No, it was a long-barreled rifle. It was just the stock was cut off.
I see. So it was what caliber?
It was a .22, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
All right, so we do have a representative from the Pinal County Attorney's Office here, sir, who is here to speak on behalf of the County Attorney's Office and objection to... you're having an early release on parole, and I'm going to ask them if they would like to go ahead and speak at this time.
Okay, I appreciate that.
And if you could just state your name and go ahead and present to the board.
Yes, sir. Good morning again. My name is Karen Camarada, and I am a prosecutor with the Pinal County Attorney's Office. I apologize. I was not provided a copy of the pre-sentence report in this case prior to today. So everything that I've learned has just been here listening to everything that's been happening. And I have to say that this inmate's progress while in prison is certainly to be commended. He said that he wants to do something better with his life, and I heard that he obtained his GED, which is fantastic. It struck me that the victim in this case was homeless, and sir, you indicated that he was actually shot in the back. I noticed that there's no family members here for the homeless victim today. He quite possibly didn't have any family, for all that we know. He also may have been abused as a child. He most likely had substance abuse problems. The inmate indicated that he doesn't like bullies, and yet he was part of a group of criminal street gang members who chose to randomly rob and kill one of the most helpless and vulnerable members of our society.
Yes,
Sir, you're going to have to just let the attorney continue to speak and provide them the same respect.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We would have them hear from you as you're speaking, sir.
It's okay. The inmate also indicated that he's made a lot of bad choices. Obviously, I would agree. And choices or our actions have consequences. While his progress while in prison is commendable, I don't believe that this homeless victim is entitled to any less justice than the victim of the previous case whose family members filled half of the room. The victim never had the opportunity to learn job skills and welding, and for all we know, never had an opportunity to get his GED. Maybe he wouldn't have done those things, but he never had the opportunity. And his life is worth just as much as the life of a victim who came from better circumstances in life. So I understand that this inmate is not the one who actually pulled the trigger, but in Arizona, we have the law of accomplice liability, which basically says if you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound. So he is just as guilty as the individual who did pull the trigger, which is why he was convicted. You are who your friends are. It's important, the company that you keep. And in this case, I don't believe that the amount of time that this inmate has served at this point does justice for the victim in this case. So I would ask the board deny parole at this time and to set this off for another year.
Does the board have any questions?
No, thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the board's coming up on a conclusion of your hearing. Is there anything else, Mr. Sperber, that you'd like to say to the board prior to the board going into discussion without repeating yourself, sir?
Yes, I would like to say that the prosecutor is correct, that I did, in fact, I am guilty of such. I am very much so guilty of such. I have no excuse for that. And yes, I did, in fact, involve myself with those friends. And yes, I did, in fact, take a life, or was started taking a life from a man that should have never had his life taken from him. I can't disagree with her by any stretch of the imagination, because that is very much so true. However, if I am granted a gift of parole, though, I will do whatever I can to make sure that I never return. I will do whatever I can to make sure that I do everything that needs to be done correctly. And I hope that this can be taken into consideration that, you know, I am very much so guilty. I know I'm not supposed to repeat myself, but it is my fault. I was there. I have no excuse whatsoever. And it's just, there's nothing more that I can, I'm very, very, very ashamed of myself.
All right. All right, so the board's going to go into discussion. While we're in discussion, Mrs. Berger, I'm going to ask you to remain on the phone so that you can hear the discussion taking place among the board. We will make a decision whether to grant you parole, okay?
Okay.
All right. The board is now going into discussion. We've had the opportunity to speak to Mr. Sperber and talk with him in this case. And according to the information that we have, Mr. Sperber has done well since he's been in prison. I believe, without going back to the file, I believe it was 2007 since the last incident that he had. He did have some problems when he first went in that included several fights that he actually got in, but he said that he's taken a class, which taking a class have to change his life around and start to hang out with different people. This was an incident where there was an innocent victim that was killed. He was homeless and helpless at the time. He was shot twice in the back. It was all a part of a gang initiation, although Mrs. Perkins said it wasn't the intention to go out and kill someone, but just to rob a homeless person or a bum, as they called it, during that period of time. I do think that although he does have some programming that he has taken and that he's doing some positive things while he's included, I'm not totally satisfied with his release plan. He has no release plan here for the state, and his relatives are out of state. I believe it was Missouri that his relatives are actually in. We do have one letter that is from his uncle, but the letter basically says that he's able to help him financially with getting an apartment and some financial needs that he's going to need, but he's not able to help him with his everyday activities or a place, you know, after you to get to one location to another location with transportation. So although he does have the letter and file of support of the uncle, I do not see that as a good release plan. Plus, if he's placed on home arrest, he would be here in the state of Arizona, and says that his father, and I believe it's his stepmother, or his vice versa, lives here, and that they don't have any connections with him at this point in time. I think that Mr. Sperberg was not just a follower in this crime, but appeared to have been a leader in the crime because he was already a gang member, as he stated. And his idea that he came up with to go out and actually roll a bomb. I think that at this point in time, I do not see Mr. Sperberg being a good candidate for home arrest, absolute discharge, or a regular parole at this time. And that's my opinion. I will listen to the rest of my colleagues. Ms. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I just wanted to note, just through some Iranian chance, that the crime occurred exactly 25 years ago today. And this is said with all respect to the victim, because I understand there's a victim in this crime. But we hear a lot of inmates, and a lot of inmates who have committed murder. I just find Mr. Sperberg's attitude refreshing. In fact, that may not be the right word, but I think he's very. I think he's got himself figured out, and I think he's completely accepting responsibility. I think he's very sensible, and at some point, I think if he has a better, I too have concerns about the release plan, but at some point, I think he's got it figured out, and if he can get a better release plan together, I think he will succeed. And again, I say that with respect to the victim in this crime. I think he will be able to return to society at some point and be successful. So that's just my input. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Canales.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I also want to echo my colleagues as a point of encouragement. I think that Mr. Sperberg is on a trajectory of reform and rehabilitation, but I don't believe he's quite ready for supervised release. Thank you.
All right, and I have to agree with you on that. I do think it is, with Ms. Rittenhouse, I agree that it's refreshing because he has taken full responsibility for his actions and the actions that has taken place, and he's been very honest with us, and more importantly, he's not making any excuses for, you know, his actions or what he did. I think he, at some point, would be a good candidate to be released back out on community supervision to have I think he has to have a better release plan and some family and community support in order to be able to assist him. Therefore, I am going to move to deny Mr. Sternberg absolute discharge of regular parole or home arrest. I'm also going to ask for a one-year set-off on this particular crime here. That's going to be my motion at this time.
Second.
Okay. I'll agree.
Okay, motion by myself.
Yeah.
Second by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed. Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Type of release denied is 412A for 11 home arrests. Reason for denial is that it was loss of human life on the market of a serious of body and offenses. It was an attempt robbery from the beginning. I'm also going to mark that he had been in prison, that he had a history of substance abuse, a history of assaultive behavior. He did have a juvenile criminal history prior to that. I'm not going to mark poor institutional behavior or recent disciplinary infractions in 2007. I'm also going to, I do understand about the programming, but I'm going to mark lack of programming, yes, some program. And then I'm also going to mark poor, no release plan. I'm not going to mark no family community support. We have a letter from his uncle as well as his statement that his release that he has in there. Mr. Sternberg?
Yes, sir.
Sir, the board has voted to deny you an absolute discharge of home arrest or regular parole at this time. Did you hear the conversation taking place between the board, sir?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. Did you hear it?
Yes, sir. I don't know anything about it, so that's really never a problem for you.
Okay, well, sir, you may have to try to work on some of that, sir, so that you would have something, because, you know, in order for you to even go back to Missouri, if you were released out, you'd have to get an interstate compact, sir, and that would have to be done. So there's some work that has to be done on your behalf in order to do that, sir. We'd like to see you kind of work on your release plan or what that would look like. So you're going to have to work with your CO3 to work on some of that, okay?
Well, sir, I did do that, and I was told that I could not do anything on that level until I was granted parole. Well, I actually did really try that one. I talked to a CO3 board, and he told me I couldn't do anything until I was granted parole.
Well, sir, I'm going to tell you, I absolutely thought that too at one point, but we just had a case yesterday where a gentleman was given home arrest to another state on the interstate compact. So I don't say that it's impossible that it can't be done. It just takes work to be done, and it's going to take some help and some assistance of some of your family members in order to get that done if it's going to be done, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, sir. That's all right. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. I do want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity to appear. And I did ask you, did you hear the reasons for denial, sir?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay. All right, Mr. Sternberg, thank you for taking the time and opportunity to appear before this board. That's going to conclude your hearing at this time. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.